for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Friday evening service of March the 31st, 1995, of the Spring Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook is the speaker for the evening.
Now, you can be seated. Praise the blessed Lord. Oh, it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. The Lord is doing great things. Hallelujah. I see the angel of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's with us. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, I don't see the angel of the Lord. Well, you're not on the right frequency. Hallelujah. Amen. That is to say, there have been occasions when someone wanted to see the angel of the Lord, and I asked the Lord to open his eyes, and they have been able to see the angel of the Lord. And I've had many confirmations that they felt the Lord.
They felt the Lord. This prophet sitting right here, he'll tell you that he felt the presence of the angel of the Lord
one night just before I got to him, didn't he?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. He felt a flutter or the actual presence of the angel of the Lord. You know, you can get a radio and set it here and turn it on FM and play it and have one over there on AM, and they're getting different messages. And this one won't pick up what that one's getting. I preached in Costa Rica one time. There was they called it a worldwide gathering. Wasn't quite that big. And hallelujah. Like some of these city-wide revivals. Hallelujah. But anyway, this one was, it was a unique thing, and I'd never done one like that before or after. We had seven interpreters, that is, seven languages, and they sat down on a table. Down off the platform was real high, and they sat down on the table right there, and where they could see me. And I preached in English, and they, when you came in, they gave you a radio with a headset, and of course they asked you which language you understand first. And if they give you one that, if you speak German, which there was some that spoke German, they give you one with it's going to come to you through in German. But I'm going to speak in English, and the interpreters down there, all they have to do is be able to interpret my English to their language, and then they say into their microphone in their native language what I have just said in English. And it was needless to say it was quite confusing because it was going pretty good until I got to using some slang slogan. and I got to using my Texas talk, and it confounded the interpreters. They didn't know any way to, some of the words I used, didn't know any way to interpret it to their language. But no, didn't insult me, because I realized some of the words I speak can't hardly be interpreted to English either, you know. But we don't see everything. You don't have to see everything to know that it's real. You don't have to hear everything to know that it's real. Praise the Lord. But the Lord seeks out those that He will, and He reveals what He will to us. Hallelujah. And if you just let God do it, well, and don't question God. If you question Him, He doesn't like to be questioned too. Not given a third degree. The disciples ask him, hey, can you tell us when the end of the world's coming and what'll be the signs? And so, you know, they always wanted to know something that he wasn't ready to reveal to them, didn't he? Praise the Lord. But I'll tell you, the Lord is a revealing God. The Lord says, I will reveal myself to you Say, little by little, degree by degree, I will show you the attributes, yea, the characteristics of myself that I want you to know. I shall not deal with everybody on the same basis, saith the Lord. Yea, but I shall deal with you according to divine knowledge and wisdom and understanding. There are times that I will, that you will think for all the world that I'm hiding from you, saith the Lord. Yea, and it may be truer than you think, saith the Lord. But it is my intention to convert you. Yea, I speak not of the time that you came seeking the city of refuge, but I include that, saith the Lord. I purpose from that moment to captivate your very mind, your very being. I purpose to captivate you both mind, both body, soul, and spirit, or spirit, soul, and body. Yea, I expect that no part of you will escape my scrutiny, saith the Lord. Yea, if you're ready to yield to the presence and to submit to the Lord of glory, the Lord can do great and wonderful things through you. And you shall witness many wonderful scenes of glory, saith the Lord. Yea, but you must be submissive. You must be submissive to those that are rule over you, those that have the rule over you. You must be submissive to a governmental order that is in the earth today. It is a divine governmental order, and the Lord is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the one that is directing the battle. Yea, he has come to order the battle. Yea, and he'll close it out with a magnificent display of glory as he brings forth those that he has raised up to be strong ones, yea, that shall invade the presence of the God of this world, Satan, yea, and shall bind the strong man of that house and then loot his house. For so shall it be, saith the Lord. But you cannot go into a strong man's house and take out his good is until you have bound him, saith the Lord. Yea, know that that the time is on the verge of that day when Satan shall be bound for 1,000 years. Yea, and I'll turn my sons of God loose in the kingdom of God to eradicate all the influence that he has brought upon humanity, saith the Lord. Yea, and he shall surely go down again finally in everlasting defeat. For the Lord thou God has spoken, and who is he that can gainsay what the Lord says? Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, blessed be the Lord. I'd like to tell you a couple of stories tonight, and I'm not going to preach, Brother Tommy is, and I'll tell you two incidents of how I got into the greatest conflicts of my life on two different occasions. One of them was a natural, but the other one was a spiritual one. I like the spiritual one better. It's been better to me. Hallelujah. I'll tell you the natural one first, and then I'll tell you how the spiritual one came about. The natural one happened in 1944. If you'll see my car parked out there, it has a bumper sticker said, I did D-Day, 1944. That means the invasion of Normandy. Actually, that sticker is just a little bit misleading. I did D-Day minus two. I got there 2 days ahead of them. It was unintentional, but many things happen that way in the military. And I was only going to get there one day ahead and come in late in the afternoon and do our business, and then the main troops would be hitting the beach down below the cliffs on the next morning at daylight. And our mission was to come in and take out the big guns that was on the cliffs aimed right at that Utah beach at Omaha. And we knew where they were. I mean, we had a sand table built of the location, everything, and we were pretty well knew where everything was if we get there. That is, if we get on the ground alive. And so we left England to fly across that channel. And we had just been briefed by the colonel, regimental commander, full colonel. He was an old guy. I thought he was old then. If he wasn't older than that now, I'd call him young man. But he had been he had been in World War I, and he was a cavalry officer in World War I, and he kept his quirt, the whip, you know, that they quirt, they slapped the horses with. He kept that for personal use. Well, they gathered us in this big, great, huge warehouse, and when we came in, we didn't know for sure what was going, because we had many fake runs at it and got that close. And they had but this time they had the sand table plumb across the front, and it was the whole beach and the cliffs lined up there before us. And so when the colonel came in, the company commander got up to introduce him, but he was bad to swear. And so he swore at the captain and said, "I'll tell him who I am." And he did. And then he told us who we were. And he said, "Yeah, it's a fine-looking group of soldiers here. Maybe the finest group I've ever seen. I'll tell you this, it is the highest trained group that I have ever seen. I want to tell you in the mouth of the gun that you're second to none. Now I have to give you, that's the good news. Now comes the bad news that 24 hours from now, a lot of you will be dead." Yeah, he's great full of punches. But it's one of those things that belongs to war. If you do make one of those casualties, I promise you, you will have died for a good cause. Well, I'm real patriotic, so I'm feeling good about this. You know, he's so good. And he says, then he goes back in again to tell us how great we are. You're the best trained unit that the United States has ever trained. Never another nation trained one as well. Hey, listen to this. You are the cream of the cream of the crop. Well, I couldn't help but remember the old days that we used to milk a lot of cows and set the cream out for the man to come by and pick it up. You know, it's for the days of real dairying. And you could set a gallon of that milk out on the table in clear glass, you know, and in the morning it'd be about that deep and just cream. And I like that cream. Well, you could dip that off, here's what happened to that. It was about this deep in cream, and about an inch of that, if it was about 6 inches deep, about an inch of that was another color, brighter yet. That was the cream of the crop. It was better than any of the rest of it. Well, and that's how I understood him to be talked to. He said, "You're the cream of the crop. You go in there and get them." So in a few minutes, we loaded on them C-47s and took off across the channel. Well, you know it don't take long to cross that channel at 150 miles an hour or so. And here sets me. Of course, I've been in the Army a good while, but I'm 18 years old. Actually, I'm 18 2 months, almost. And you know, just a boy. We still, my goodness, my daughter-in-law is still baby, them boys, them grandsons of mine that's 18 years old. Anyway, I got scared. I don't mean frightened. I mean scared. And I thought, well, I must be the scaredest one on here. And I had just been given a battlefield commission 2 days before to lead this company. I was first sergeant until then. But everybody that knows the military knows first sergeant leads the company anyhow. And General Omar Bradley called me personally and said, "Sergeant Harris, will you lead our company into combat?" And I said, "Well, General, I had every intention of doing that." Well, anyway, here we are. I'm on there. I got that one platoon on this plane with me, and we got three more planes on the way, and we're flying pretty close formation, not close enough to, you know, be too dangerous to all of us. And I look around at all these men, they're all looking at me. And I'm just hoping, and I'm offering up a little prayer to it. I don't look as scared as I am. And I didn't know, hey, all kinds of things went through my mind, but the main thing was that I hoped that I could do it good. I mean, it was almost a foregone conclusion that we was going to get killed, but I hoped I could do it in a soldierly fashion. Of course, I still had that slim hope for survival. I never lost that. Well, anyway, we come in and we're getting close, and the pilot radios back, and he's got it all timed. Of course, we got the timetable on it, too, and he says, we're 3 minutes away from target. Said, I'm going to fly. He told us how many feet high he'll fly, and I'll be over. I'll tell you when I'm over the target. I'll only be over it if you don't get off. Can you get them bums off in 32 seconds? And I said, I'll get them off. And he said, well, when I turn the signal light on there, you start evacuating my aircraft because I got to go back to England. And he said, so we talked there, and he got all the, sure, we were straight on everything. And then he says, to me, he said, well, we're about a minute and a half from the drop. Is there anything I can do for you the last minute? And I said, yeah, if you can get Colonel Sanders on that phone there, I really need to hear him tell me one more time how tough I am. Now, we couldn't get him, of course. And I had to leave the aircraft anyhow. Well, he dipped in there, and I gave the orders to evacuate this aircraft, and off we went, and we was only about 500 feet high, and it wasn't going to take long to get to the ground. We arranged it that way because they're going to be shooting at us while we're coming down. And I see a big rock, great big rock, right out kind of in as open a space as there was. And so I said to myself, if I get on the ground alive, I'm going to head for that rock. I'm going to get behind it. And I unbuckle everything so I can make a quick exit from all of this chute that I brought down with me. And when I hit the ground, they were screaming, crying, hollering, and everything was happening. It was as bad as it can get. But I hit the ground, and I run toward that rock. And I got to the rock, but to my amazement, I couldn't determine which way is behind it. Bullets was hitting it from every direction. And I suddenly realized, hey, you hadn't been here long enough to establish a front. And then I did that in just fear. But then I reacted, and all my training came back to me, and all, you know. And it came to me, and I got a hold of myself. And then I began to do the right thing, the correct thing. I began to do the best I could do. There was no good. The book won't give you one on this. You're on a small plat, and you have men there, and the enemy has men there. If you shoot at theirs, you'll hit yours. Of course, they're going to have the same problem. Make a long story short, we lost 80% of our, we had 80% casualty. But General Omar Bradley commended us, for he thought we'd have 95%. He said, I wouldn't even been surprised at 99%. I knew they wouldn't get you. But we had the reason he could talk to me like that, I had taken his wife from trophies or something. I didn't know what it was, but she met me there at the airstrip and took the cargo that I was bringing for the general. And he was a great, General Omar Bradley was a great man. He came up through the ranks to be a great commander. He was the last of the great commanders to die of World War II. A great man. Well, anyway, we salvaged... the next morning, all right, so we've hit late in the evening because we don't want to be in too much daylight on us. And we took out the big guns. I think we took them all out. And they didn't know what to do. We just hit them. They didn't know we was coming. We figured they did. And the next morning, while we waited and watched out across the channel and see, hey, where's this infantry at? And nothing happened. And then the Germans realized what was happening, and they began to throw in propaganda sheets to us. And they told us there wasn't going to be no invasion, that Eisenhower had surrendered the Allied troops. The guy said, well, what are you going to do about this? Tech said, you believe Eisenhower has surrendered? And I said, well, I don't believe it. I think it's just propaganda. But if he has, well, I ain't going to surrender. I'm already on this side now. I'm going to Berlin. Well, and then we didn't know, because we wasn't in contact with nobody. It was scary times, and we knew that pretty soon, I mean, eventually the Germans are going to come up and get us, or try to. And the next morning, they came. Oh, it was a beautiful sight. Here was our hope. We looked out across that channel when daylight broke, and you couldn't believe how many ships were out there. They was almost touching each other all the way back to England. And just that, so I told the men, let's get down. Let's go down off the beach. We'll meet them on the, off the cliff. We'll meet them on the beach and help them take those guns, the big guns that's on that beach. So we did. And we was down when the first LCI slid in there, Landing Craft Infantry. And it was right from our, battalion and our division, and we knew some of them, you know. And they actually got to the beach before the shooting started. It was the second echelon that got scalped. The first one got there in time to get up. There was a little old wall there way up on the beach. They got up in time to get behind that without losing too many men. But the second echelon, they really got them. I was privileged to 50 years later to narrate the first 12 minutes on CBS with Cronkite. Or the Cronkite. He was there on D-Day, and he and Eric Severide, great commentary, Eric Severide. And, that's how I got into the greatest war of my life. During that war, I was wounded three different times, received three Purple Hearts. I received 42 commendations. In all, 42 commendations. And that may not sound like many, but Audie Murphy's 26. Well, I wouldn't take anything from him. He was a World War II hero. He was the hero. The world wanted a hero, and they made him a hero and then exploited it. And he another thing, he wasn't in combat but about 24 days. Well, I was in combat 240 days. Yeah, so, yeah, he was the World War II hero. I mean, I'd take nothing away from him. He was great. But I'm just saying that documentary, I have received 42 commendations, and he received 26. Hallelujah, amen. Well, anyway, somebody said, well, what are you doing? Oh, well, you can take all of them and about 75 cents and get you a cup of coffee at most places. I'm proud of it, though. I'm proud of it. I have had many honors bestowed on me, really, along with, I know, as Colonel Speed Wilson here has also. And just the latest one honor that I had was I was the man of the year in 1994. I was named man of the year at my home. And it was a touching incident when we went to have the commendation, had all them middle-aged men out there. Telling what I'd done for them when they were boys. and you know, what a role model I had been for all the young men of that. But I don't know about that. But one guy said, hey, he said, you know, when I was a boy, everybody wanted to be like John Wayne or... He named several more celebrities, but said, I just wanted to be like Jack Harris. all those things make you feel... It's real rewarding, real rewarding. Now, that's the first story. Now, that's how that I got into that great warfare. Now, The next one is when I came into ministry. This is how I got in. I didn't go to a seminar 3 years to start with. I got in just kindly. What had happened was I had just been reclaimed by the Lord, and it was shortly after the war, and everybody thought I ought to be a preacher, you know, and they tell me that, and I wasn't listening. And one day I was having lunch with a preacher friend of mine. He's a great preacher, and we were sitting in the restaurant about to order when another preacher comes in that he knows, but I don't know him. And so we invite him over to our table to have lunch with us. And we had lunch together and talked. And when the preacher got ready to go, he says to me, "Brother Harris, are you a minister also?" And before I could say no, my friend said yes. And said, he's a minister and a good one. And he said, "Well, I'm glad to hear that, because I pastor a little church over just over the state line here. And how about coming over and preaching for us Friday night?" This is on Tuesday. And Friday night seemed a long ways off, so I said, "Well, I'll be glad to." And then begins the nerve-wracking thing, you know. And I went over there on Friday night, and I didn't tell him his first time. I didn't tell him I never had preached. And I still hadn't told him. He probably knows it by now, but I didn't tell him. And, I was real nervous, and I figure if I tell him I never preached, he's going to be nervous too. And that'd be too many nervous folks on this platform. And so they had long preliminaries, and finally he said, "Brother Jack, come on, preach." I said, "Come preach, Brother Jack." So I got up and brought my Bible and throwed it open on the pulpit, and I came in a hurry, you know. I thought you ought to look anxious anyhow. And so I preached. I just preached. And they've been saying that for more than 40 years now. They've been saying, "Brother Jack, come preach." I just throw my Bible open, come preach. Well, anyway, I preached, and we gave an invitation, and several got saved, and some of them got the baptism and the Holy Ghost. So the preacher said, "Well, hey, what are you doing? Could you stay over the weekend?" I said, "Yeah, stay over the weekend." And so I stayed over the weekend, and then he said, "Hey, could you go? We'll revive all next week if you can stay." I said, "I can stay." And then the visiting pastors came in from that area, and there was a number of them, and they all invited me to come from here to my church and preach for me. So I went from one church to the other, and I preached there about 6-7 weeks without stopping. Didn't have time to study none. I don't know. The Lord was just gracious to me. And that brought me to here. And that brought me into the greatest spiritual battle that I never will be in a greater one, I know, because this one has lasted for over 40 years. But I signed on for the course when I come. Being a Christian ain't no 100-yard dash. Paul, when he was about ready to be offered, he said, "I finished the course." That great apostle, in a moment of time, was converted from a religion that was gendering to death to one that gendered to life. And he said at the end, "Well, I finished my course." Hallelujah. So I've signed on for the course, and by the help and grace of God, that's the way I've come this far. That's the way that I will continue on until. It's a pleasure to testify about the Lord and just to see the.
Well, you didn't tell how you really got the grandmother's prayer.
Yeah, my grandmother prayed for me. Well, when I was in the army, I was in the war. I was shot down. My plane was shot down. And I was going to jump anyhow, but I wasn't going to jump in that locality. And they hit at my plane direct with a NICAC shell right through the cockpit. And I had 50 men with myself. There's 50 of us on there and paratrooper equipment. And we was going on a mission. And we're several miles short of the target, and we know it. But so I opened the door. You know how, if you know how those planes are built, door opens and you're right to the cockpit, and then he closes off all that, you know, all them soldiers back there. And when I opened the door, well, the wind came through, almost knocked me down. I looked in the cockpit, and I seen there ain't no survivors here. But it was still flying, but it was losing altitude. It was flying about 150 miles an hour, about 120 miles an hour now. So I hadn't got any choice but to abandon the aircraft. So I gave the orders to abandon the aircraft, and we abandoned it there. And then the next plane that comes over, well, after we got off of it, it flew on a little ways, and quite a little ways, and hit the ground. And when it did, it exploded in fire. Well, the next plane that was behind us coming, he got there in time to see the plane go down and explode, and they watched to see if there was any survivors, and there was none. But what he didn't know was I had all the survivors back there in a brush pile, amen, in a little timber, trying to figure out what to do next. And so he, when they finished the mission and went back, they reported what they seen, and they said, but my folks got a telegram that I was missing in action. But my sister wrote to the company, and this feller gave back an eyewitness account that there were no survivors on that plane. So now they changed the status to killed in action. But my grandmother said, well, you know, I can't accept that. Said, I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll come walking in here one day out of nowhere. He's not dead. He can't be, because I have already had projections for him. When I was 2 years, 3 years old, I believe it was, my grandmother told me this story, that we started up, she was carried to the church, and the church was up high steps, and she watched me crawl up those steps. And she was, you know, thinking, what a little guy this is, and everything. And the Lord spoke to her and said, well, don't be sorry for him. I'll make a big man out of him. And you'll live to see him pastor in this church. And she did. She did. Hallelujah. Grandmother liked to tell the story. Hallelujah. There's no limit to what prayer will do. It will do the impossible. God bless you real good. I'm always blessed.
Well, it's a privilege to turn the rest of the evening over to Tommy Cook, who has been a blessing and a blessing and a blessing to us here at the campground now for a long, long time, along with Brother Jack and Brother Bill and Peggy Goodson. And we just appreciate their ministry, and we thank them, and we thank Doc for being faithful to his calling to come and help us with the deliverance ministry and the morning prayer meetings where Jesus comes and meets you. Well, Tommy, come, and the word of the Lord minister to us tonight.
There we go. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's raise our hands and praise the Lord tonight.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord, and praise you. We bless your wonderful name tonight, Lord. We're grateful and thankful to you tonight, Lord, for your mercy and your kindness, Lord, for bringing us here to this campground, Lord God. We bless your wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, move among us tonight. Lord, touch your people tonight. Touch your people, we pray. I come against all lethargy and sleepiness, Lord, and weakness, Lord. Ask the fresh breath of the Holy Ghost to move into this place tonight, Lord. Strengthen everyone here, Lord, in their mind, in their body, and in their spirit. We bless you and thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you honor and praise, Lord. And we all said in Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Praise the Lord. I really enjoyed listening to Jack. Well, I always like to listen to Jack. Praise the Lord. God's given him a lot, and he's really a blessing, and not only to the campground, but wherever he goes. And he's been a great blessing to me in my life, and I've been blessed by Brother Jack and Brother Speed and other ministers that come here. You know, I don't think there's any other place like like Hamilton that brings the fivefold minister in. I travel a lot of places, and I know that there's a lot of ministry comes through this place. How many thank God for the fivefold ministry tonight? Amen. And as Jack said this morning, there are many just believe maybe two or three of the ministries, but I thank God for all five. We need the apostles. We need prophets. We need teachers and shepherds and evangelists. We need each other. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Genesis 35 tonight. May the Lord bless you as we go into the scriptures. I mean, there's no book like this book. And I'm like Jack. My favorite translation is King James. I use all the translations too, but I still think this is the greatest. Praise the Lord. Genesis 35, verse 19. How many believe that God is raising up a son? Jack talked about it this morning. How many know you could talk? Jack gave 3 points, but how many know you could also teach it? Justification, sanctification, come on, and glorification. God's justified us by his blood. We know he's sanctifying us. That's a process. And yet, he's going to bring many sons to glory, Hebrews chapter 2 tells us. How many want to be partaker of the glory? How many know there's some suffering we go through to come into that glory? And that suffering is within us, a lot of it. That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 1 tells us. Genesis 35, Jacob, verse 15. Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. Bethel means the house of God. And they journeyed from Bethel, from the house of God, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, that's Bethlehem. And notice Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. Now, Rachel is a picture of the church. And we believe it's going to take a lot of travail to bring forth this son in this end time that we're living in.
Yeah.
And it's going to take travail in you and I. It's going to take a lot of prayer and intercession. Isn't that right? How many know that's work?
Yeah.
Now, God's going to do it through you and I. He's not going to pray for us. He's going to help us to pray. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
How many know the Holy Spirit's sent to help us to pray?
Yeah.
Amen. And to pray through us. But he's going to use you and me, but not apart from us. And so it says that Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said to her, now notice what the midwife said, fear not. What did Jack preach on last night? He preached on the fear of God. But here the midwife says, don't fear, don't fear, thou shalt have this son also. Which means she had another son before this. His name was Joseph. And she said, you're going to have this son. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died. How many believe God's going to bring us to some death? Come on, death to ourselves. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Death to our desires.
Amen.
Death to our opinions. Come on.
Amen.
Death to many things. So that she called his name Benoni, which means son of sorrow, but his father called him Benjamin. And Benjamin means the son of the right hand. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The son of the right hand. Praise the Lord. And there's a lot we can go into about Benjamin here in the scriptures, but I won't tonight. Now, there were 7 barren women in scripture that I'm thinking of. Number one, we see right here, this is Rachel, the wife. She'd been barren at least up to the time she had Joseph, excuse me. And when all the other wives were having children, she didn't have any. And so there's 7 barren women. Rachel is one. Remember what she said in chapter 30 of Genesis? She said, give me children or else I die. Now, she meant natural children. But how many believe that we need to have that same desire to win others to the Lord? Amen?
Amen.
And I believe that God's going to lead us into the harvest. I believe the harvest is coming. And I believe we might be closer than what we think.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
And we know that God's separating the wicked from the just, even in that time, or the wheat from the tares. But we're coming to harvest. And I told Sister Wilson, I believe many things are going to happen. But I said, I believe there's coming an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, number one, to mature the church. And number two, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is coming to get the church out of the world. I mean, believe it's so mixed up now you can't tell the church from the world in some places. And yet, the world, so to speak, loves the church now, but God's going to bring a division in this end time, where the world will literally hate the real church.
Amen.
Who can hear that tonight?
Amen.
And you know, Satan is the god of this age, or this world, isn't he?
Amen.
And this world's coming, this age is coming to an end, and God's going to use you and I and others to bring this age to an end. And how many know Satan's going to come against those who will bring him down, because he doesn't want this age to end. Because when this age ends, how many know he's finished?
Amen.
Oh, yes, I said he's finished. Hallelujah. How many thank God he's going to be finished?
Amen.
Amen. Now, seven women. Rachel was barren in Scripture. Sarah was barren in Scripture for a period of time. Rebecca was barren in Scripture for a time. That's three. Hannah, you know, Samuel's mother. And you know, barrenness is of the curse, but how many know God shut up her womb? How many believe there's some wombs being shut up? How many know that David's wife looked out the window and criticized him one time, and her womb was shut up? Never could have another child, never called David's wife again. She was the daughter of Saul. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then the next one is Samson's mother, which we don't know her name. She was barren for a period of time. And then Elizabeth. She was barren until God gave them John. Praise the Lord. Now, what's the last one? What do you think the last one is? The church. The church has been barren. How many know we brought forth Ishmael for many, many years now? But God wants an Isaac. How many believe that? Now, you'll notice this midwife said here, "Fear not, for thou shalt have this son also." Now, go over to Exodus. Jack was there last night. And I want to show you a couple of things and tell you what the midwife ministry is. How many know that it speaks of cutting away of the flesh? And how many know God knows how to cut our flesh away? And burn it up, whatever else he needs to do to it. Isn't that right? And in fact, God brought Elijah to the brook. What? What brook did he bring him to? What does that mean? Huh? That word means cutting away. And then he led him up to another place called Zarephath, didn't he? And that literally means a consuming fire. What God didn't cut away, how many of us are going to burn it up? How many of you ever felt like you've been in the fire lately? Amen? I think we all have, haven't we? Now, the midwife speaks of a prophetic ministry. Thou shalt have this son also. It is a prophetic ministry that imparts the rhema word in faith. How many thank God for the rhema today?
Amen.
As well as the logos. And thank God for faith. How many believe that we need more faith in God and in the things of God? And the midwife speaks of a preserver of life. The midwives preserved life. They didn't take life. Hallelujah. Thank God for life today in Christ. And the midwife literally means a woman that travaileth. That's what the midwife means. A woman in travail. Well, God's got a woman in travail. We're going to see that in just a minute. How many believe he's going to do what he's going to do in Arkansas? He'll do in England. He'll do in Russia. Come on. He'll do in wherever. Isn't that right? He's got a woman that's in travail. Praise the Lord. But not everybody's in travail tonight. I said, not everybody's in travail tonight. No, But God has certain people. How many know as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children?
Amen.
Is that Scripture? Isaiah 66. Now, we know here in the Scripture, the midwife in chapter 1 of Exodus feared God. They had the fear of God in them. They obeyed God, Scripture says. Because they would not perform the abortions. They stood for righteousness. They stood for what God had told them to do. Hallelujah. They risked their own lives. Look in verse 17 of Exodus 1. It says here, "And the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive."
Amen.
Now, did you notice it was the men children that was to die? Only the men children. And in Jesus' day, when he was a baby, how many know that the decree went out again to kill the men children? But today they're killing both men and women. Because how many know in Christ there's neither male nor female? Are you hearing me? And God raised up this deliverer in the time of the death of his babies. His name was Moses. Of course, the Lord, our Savior, came as well. And now God's raising up another deliverer. Come on, amen? The overcomers. How many believe that? And if you look in verse 20, it says here, "Therefore God did something. He dealt well with the midwives And the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. So instead of obeying Pharaoh, they obeyed God because God had dealt with them, and there was a multiplication, hallelujah, in the land. There was an increase, not a decrease. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And then in verse 21, you'll notice here, God did something. Because they feared God, that he made them houses. Not only probably brick and mortar houses, but no doubt he gave them homes and families. Praise the Lord. So they were blessed by the Lord. Look in Proverbs 11:8, a scripture with me here. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 8. And the scripture says, the righteous, it's 11:18. 11:18, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, that was Pharaoh, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. How many believe that God rewarded those women for their faithfulness?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank God. There was a wicked one who did a deceit, wanted to kill those children, but they sowed righteousness and they received a sure reward. Now look in Psalms 106. Now we call abortion Moloch, but it's also the Canaanite spirit. Now the Canaanite means a peddler or trafficker or a merchant. Now in Psalms 106, verse 34, notice this thing invaded the people of God. And verse 34, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, which is disobedience, but were mingled, literally mixed, among the heathen, the nations, and learned their works. And they served their idols, which were a snare to them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons, their daughters, to devils. Now, this is the people of God. How many believe we need to claim our children for God? How many would be honest and raise your hand? How many has got children outside the safety of the ark of God? Let's pray for them right now. Father, we lift up our children. Everyone, every child, Lord, of every parent in this room. And God, we ask the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus to save them and deliver them and bring them into the ark of God. Lord, we thank you. You said you'd save us in our household. And we claim our children, Lord. We claim our grandchildren, Lord. We claim our families for the Lord Jesus. And we command Satan to take his hands off of our families. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And then you notice in verse 38, they shed innocent blood. Innocent blood. And how many know the curse comes on the nation or on the people for shedding innocent blood? Even the blood of their sons, their daughters, and sacrificed them to the idols of Canaan. Well, there's a lot more. The wrath of God came and many other things we can read there. And so, it's not only the Moloch spirit, it's the Canaanite spirit. And the Canaanite is the money spirit. How many know there's a lot of people need to have the Canaanite spirit cast out of them? Because that is their God. Now, there's nothing wrong with money in its place. But how many know the love of money is the root of what? All evil. I believe God gives us money. We have to have money today to live on. And I believe God blesses us with finances. I believe that. But there is a love for money that's abnormal and it's wrong. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. In my own life, this is just me talking, not telling you what to do. But God has told me recently, quit praying for money. Just put the kingdom first. That's for me. I can pray for others. I can pray for their finances, but I'm not going to pray for mine. How many know God is our supplier? And if we put the kingdom first, he has already told us he'd supply every need. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, so let's go to Revelation now in just a minute. Revelation chapter 12. We said a while ago there is one that's travailing. Now, how many thank God for hope tonight? Christ in us the what?
Hope of
glory. The hope of glory. And how many, God wants to bring us to glory or glorification. Now, from hope leads us to travail. I'm thinking about Romans 8, but hope leads us into travail. How many has ever felt the spirit of travail come upon you?
Hallelujah.
Yes, I think many of us have. But if there's a travail, how many know in the natural there's also been a conception? Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And if there's a conception, there's a pregnancy, there's been a seed deposited, which to us spiritually is the Word of God, which brings forth faith, which brings forth vision, and when you have a vision, you come back to hope. Who can hear that tonight? Hallelujah. All right, chapter 12. We see in verse 1, there appeared a great sign in heaven. Now, this heaven is impure because the dragon's there. How many know there's no dragon where God the Father is tonight? No. And how many are glad of that? He was kicked out. There appeared a great sign in heaven, a woman clothed with the S-U-N, which speaks of many things, but it speaks of God's glory. And the moon was under her feet, and upon her head was a crown of 12 stars. Now, Jack talked about the 12 apostles to the Lamb today. I really enjoyed what he said about the apostles today. I believe exactly what he said. And this woman, clothed with the glory of God, there's something under her feet. She has dominion. She has authority. And it also said this crown was also 12 stars. And in this end time woman or church that we're seeing here, I see her as a person, a woman of church, that has God's glory, God's authority, and I see apostolic authority in her. But how many know many of the church has not heard the apostolic ministry? But God's going to bring them forth. I believe that. And then you'll notice it says, she being with child, travailing in birth. My Martin says, in labor and in pain to be delivered. And you ladies in the natural know what that is. But how many know there's a travail, come on, in the spirit? Huh? And there appeared another sign in heaven, in that same heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And notice his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it was born. And I believe that birthing there is in the soul. How many know we've already been born again in our spirit? But where is the battle today? Where's your battle? Come on, tell me. Right here, isn't it? The battle is for your soul. The battle is for my soul. It says in Daniel that the beast will what? Wear out. Come on. The saints of the Most High. And that literally means wear them out mentally. How many know that today the battle is increasing in the mind? Because Satan coming from without wants your mind, and God from within says, it's mine. And we're going to yield to one, aren't we? Come on, amen? Hallelujah. Amen. And so there is a travail. But he says here that as soon as this one is going to come forth, this child, there's one going to devour or seek to devour this child. Now, God's going to let the devil loose against that child. But how many know God's going to take him higher? Come on, amen? And I'm not talking about physically. I'm not talking about a physical rapture. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm not talking about that. God is taking this one into a higher realm in the Lord. He's taking him in that place where John was. Come on, amen? Where Paul was. Where Jesus walked. Hallelujah. Where he lived. He walked here. He lived there. How many know you can be here and there at the same time? How many believe that? I want to show it to you. Look in Revelation 7. And let's just look at it here. Hallelujah. How many believe we're in training for reigning? And there's a groan at the throne, and God is moving. Hallelujah. Somebody said we're going from sonship to moonship. Moonship to sonship. Excuse me. Okay. Revelation 7. Revelation 7:13. One of the elders answered, saying to me, what are these that are arrayed or clothed in white robes, and whence came they? Where did they come from? And I said to him, John said to him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, or the great affliction, or great pressure. How many feel like you're already in the pressure cooker? Huh? Hallelujah. How many know we're defeated by some of the smaller things already? What's going to happen when the horses come out of the stall? Amen? Let me know that scripture if you're hearing me. And notice it said he made them white in what? The blood of the Lamb. Well, when you put a garment in blood, how many know it's going to come out red looking? But here, these are made white, pure, in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God. Now, look, where are they at? Now, they're before the throne of God and serve him day and night. Notice that in his temple. Now, let me ask you, is there a night where God is? Where is night? I can look out there and see it right now. Now, this is consistently. They're serving God continually. But they're serving day and night. Hallelujah. There is no night in heaven, but there's night here on the earth. Isn't that right? Now, notice. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. How many know he's among us even tonight? They shall hunger no more. Neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. Where did they just come from? Come on. Where did they come from? Look back in your scripture. Through what? Great tribulation. God said no more heat. How many know there's some test you've come through you'll never go through again? And there's some you never went through you'll go through. Well, I better say we, not you, we. It does say we. Praise the Lord. Now, notice it says here, nor heat, any heat. How many know there's a plague coming over in Revelation? Well, we're here somewhere. I think it's chapter 16. Where there's going, 16:9, men were scorched with great heat. Amen? Do you know that we'll have tribulation, but we're not appointed for wrath? Is that right? Is that scripture?
Yeah.
Okay. But in 16:9, men were scorched with great heat, and yet God says back in chapter 7, there'll be no more heat. Hallelujah. But the wicked's going to get the heat. And how many know God's going to give them a hot seat if you read chapter 16? All right, how many believe that?
Man.
Yeah. A lot more to it than I'm getting into. But back in chapter 7:17, the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed or shepherd them, shall lead them into living fountains of water. Now, that's not drinking fountains. The living fountains are you and I, the body of Christ.
Hallelujah.
And God shall wipe away all tears, come on, from their eyes.
Amen.
All tears. Praise the Lord. How many thank God for that? But I tell you, there's a travail. Now, look in Luke 18. Let's look at this travail. Luke 18 and in Luke 18, verse 1. I love these scriptures. Jesus speaks a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Another translation says men ought always pray and not cave in. Another one says men ought always pray and not give up. And another one says men ought always pray and not lose heart. So don't cave in. Don't faint. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Amen? How many know God is hearing our cry? Praise the Lord. How many know he doesn't answer the prayer tomorrow, necessarily the next day? Come on, amen? And this is God's elect crying out. Look down to verse 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, his chosen, which cry, notice, day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. Now, it says here in chapter 7 of Revelation, we saw there was a people serving God day and night. Isn't that right? And yet here's a people praying day and night. You know why they're praying day and night? Because of that which they're going through. And then in verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. And I'll tell you, he'll find faith in those that elect, those overcomers. Hallelujah. Now, look in 1 Thessalonians 3:10. 1 Thessalonians 3:10. Another scripture. Hallelujah. And Paul, the apostle, is speaking to us. He's talking to the church at Thessalonica. In verse 10 of chapter 3, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. How many believe we're lacking in some faith tonight? We need some intercessors to start praying for us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Have you ever prayed for God to give you intercessors by the Holy Ghost? Amen. Amen. I've had God drop my name to people that never knew me, but God would speak to them my name to pray for me. They never met me, never knew me. Hallelujah. How many know that's a blessing? Amen. Now, look in chapter... Excuse me, what, Jack?
He's got you on his mind.
Amen. Now, look in chapter 2, verse 9. Look in chapter 2 there, verse 9. Paul said something else. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail. How many know travail is labor? For laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable to any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God. So there's labor, there's travail. Then we look in chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 8. Here we see this labor and travail again. And Paul said, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Hallelujah. How many get sick of these offering takers uppers we got? We got criers and beggars. Come on, amen? And yet they say we believe, we have much faith, and yet they cry and beg for offerings. You don't have to do that. How many know that's really a stench in God's nostrils, the way some of the offerings are taken up? And yet God's people are so gullible many times, they're pouring it into them. Can you say amen? And how many know God's going to judge a lot of things in the church very soon? I believe that. I believe he's going to clean the church up, don't you? And great. Now, I'm not against money. I mean, if people want to give, that's fine. But the way some of it happens is not right. Amen. The way offerings are taken up, it's just not right in a lot of places. Now, go to Revelation 12. Let's see why there's such a cry. Revelation 12, verse 9. 12, 9 of Revelation. And it says in this verse, and the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent. How many know that old serpent lived in back there in Genesis? Come on, he was back there, and he's called the old serpent. Now he's a dragon. That word dragon's used 13 times in Revelation. And he's went from a snake to a dragon. Amen. And it says something here in this verse that he was cast out. Now, first, I believe he was cast out of heaven. But how many know he's also going to be cast down to the earth, then the pit, and then the lake of fire? And it said here, he was called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Now, just part of it. That includes Hot Springs, Arkansas, Tulsa, Oklahoma. They call it Tulsa the holy city. Well, I won't tell you, there's a lot of deception in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Come on, any other city that don't know God. Isn't that right? He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now look at verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come. Now, once he's cast out, now has come salvation and strength. Come on, and the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So the accuser who works day and night was cast down. But hallelujah, how many are glad somebody's praying day and night?
Yeah.
Huh? God gave me a word not long ago, and I preached in several places, how he's going to bring the enemy down. And he gave me a lot of scriptures on it, showed me how he's going to do it from the scripture. How many thank God the enemy is coming down?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. In your life, my life, and many other lives. Amen? Praise the Lord. Thank God for that. Now go to Micah 5. Micah chapter 5. Thank you, Lord. Micah chapter 5. Now you may see it a little different the way I interpret this, but I'm going to interpret the way I see it. Hallelujah. Chapter 5 of Micah. Now, I believe in the land of Israel there's going to be a remnant saved. I said in the land of Israel, I believe there's going to be a remnant saved. I believe there's going to be a remnant from every nation saved.
Yeah.
Amen? But in chapter 5, verse 3, therefore will he give them up. Now, this is the Father of God giving natural Israel up until, everybody say until the time that she, the church, which travaileth, hath brought forth. Let me know she's going to bring forth the sons of God. And God's going to give them up until she which surveyeth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren, and I look at that remnant possibly as the natural there, coming to the Lord, shall return to the children of Israel. And I see Israel there as the church. Hallelujah. But anyway, regardless of how we see that, the thing is, she's going to bring forth, she's going to travail, and she's going to bring forth. Amen? Now, we know the church is going to bring forth a remnant. I mean, believe that. Look in Revelation 12 just a minute. Revelation 12, and I know people even argue this verse. I just want to quote 12:17. The dragon was wroth with the woman, the church. I mean, no, he hates the church, really. And went to make war, come on, with somebody. With the remnant. Remnant of who? Of her seed. That word seed means the best seed left over for planting for next season. Which keep the commandments, come on, of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Now let's see who keeps the commandments of God. Look in Revelation 22. I'm listening to the Holy Ghost. Is that all right?
Yeah.
I got some notes, but listen, I ain't bound to no notes. 22:14. I get a structure going, but God tears the structure up sometimes. 22:14. But I mean, no, we've got to study to show ourselves approved. Isn't that right? 22:14. Blessed, and the word blessed is used seven times in the book of Revelation. Seven blessings in Revelation. Here's one of them. Blessed are they that do. Everybody say do.
Do.
That do what?
His commandments.
His sayings or his word. Not just know about them, but are doer of the word. Isn't that right? That's what James says. That they, those that do the commandments, are, that they might have a right. The word right means authority or privilege. Do you know you have a privilege tonight or authority or a right in God if you keep his commandments or do his commandments? What is that right to? To the tree of life. How many thank God for the tree? How many know we're eating off of the tree of life tonight? But there's a river flowing out. How many know that we partake of that life and we dispense that life? Now, he is the tree of life. Come on, the water of life, river of life, crown of life, book of life. How many know he's life?
In him was life.
In him was life, that's right. Now, he said something here. Those that do his commandments, they'll have that authority to the tree. Now, look in Revelation 2:7. Revelation 2:7. And it says, he that hath an ear. How many's got an ear tonight? Let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. Now notice, first of all, we saw somebody going to do his commandments. Right? And they have the right or the authority to the tree of life. Who are those people? The overcomers. That's what he's saying right here, isn't it? Let's read it again. Here we've got an ear. To him that overcometh will I give or grant to eat of the tree of life that's in the midst of the... Where was Paul called up to?
Paradise.
Third heaven. How many believe Paul was an overcomer? How many know he did? He kept God's commandments. Let's go back to Revelation now, 22, and see something else here, what he said. There's a lot more here I like to get into, but I don't know. But it says, and notice what else besides the tree of life, and... They may enter through the gates into the city.
Yeah.
How many gates are there? What's 12 a number of? Divine government. Isn't that right? How many believe God's bringing us into a divine government, as Jack said today? Divine place of divine government. And God, how many know the church will be in order when Jesus comes?
Oh, yeah.
But you look at it now, it looks like a scrambled egg or an omelet. It's so mixed up. But when God brings forth that fivefold ministry in his fullness, I believe we're going to see the church set in order. How many believe that?
Oh, yes.
And there's going to be a lot of screams because people are rebellious against what God's going to do.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. God help us not be rebellious. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, notice they'll enter into through the gates into the city. Well, let's look at the city. Look it back in chapter 21 and see what the city is. Hallelujah. Revelation 21, verse 2, John said, I saw the holy city. What kind of city is it?
Holy.
I mean, no, that's never changed.
Yeah.
H-O-L-Y. And then he said, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Didn't say going up, it's coming down. How many believe we're living tonight in the heavenlies?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
We should be living there tonight.
Yeah.
And he said, this New Jerusalem's coming down from God. God's a spirit. And out of heaven, notice, coming out of heaven. I believe heaven's real. I believe there is a heavenly realm.
Oh, yeah.
I believe I die tonight, I'm going to heaven. How about you?
Yeah.
Praise God. I believe there's a heaven. I believe there's a hell. I don't want to go to hell, I'll tell you that. That's right. Coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So this holy city is a bride. Is God married to a physical city or to a people? I mean, no, Paul said to the church that of Corinth that they were a chaste virgin. Hmm? Hallelujah. Let's see what else he said. Look in verse 3. He said, I heard a voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. With men. With you, with me. He will dwell with them. Where's he at tonight? He's with us. He's in us, isn't he? They shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away their tears. Notice, there'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. For the former things are what? If any man be in Christ Jesus, come on. Old things are what? Behold, all things become. Another translation says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new world. You ever read that? I could preach on the three worlds in Peter. The world of yesterday, the world of today, and the world of tomorrow. Seriously. We're talking about the world of tomorrow coming here. The one that's just about ahead of us.
Hallelujah.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Notice what it says here. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these are the words. These words are true and faithful. Now come down to verse 9. Come down to verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels. Now notice, one of the seven angels which had the seven vials. Now that's plagues, that's judgments, that's bold judgments coming upon the wicked. And John says right here, one of those seven who's going to bring judgment. I mean, no, angels can also represent ministry. Sure. In fact, most of the time they do in Revelation. Now, they can actually be angels, created beings, but many times angels, the one that showed John this revelation was an angel, and yet he was a prophet. Hallelujah. And so he says right here, there came to him one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, come on, the Lamb's wife. So this city, this bride, this New Jerusalem's the Lamb's wife. How many want to be a part of the Lamb's wife? The bride of Christ. Amen? Oh, yes. Praise God. Now, when the seven plagues are being poured out in judgment, those bold judgments and vials are being poured out, God's bringing forth a bride. Can you hear what I'm saying tonight? Now, the next verse. Notice the next verse. Having the glory of God, verse 10. He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain. How many know Isaiah chapter 2 talks about that mountain?
Right.
Now, Jesus was taken up on a high mountain, a natural mountain, and was transfigured before the apostles, three apostles. Isn't that right? But here, John was taken to a high mountain, a high place in the Spirit, and then it says here, notice, showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, again, descending out of heaven from God. Now, look back to chapter 17 of Revelation. How many still here tonight?
Amen.
Okay, good. 17:1. How many want to get carried away in the Lord? Now, 17:1, there came one of the seven angels. Now, here again, he's saying, there came one of those seven again. Hallelujah. Which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying to me, come hither, or literally, come closer. Now, John was caught up in the Spirit, wasn't he? He heard the voice saying, come up higher. Now he hears the voice saying, come hither, or come closer. How many want to get closer?
Amen.
Amen. Come hither, John, that's who he's talking to, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Hallelujah. Now, just as those vials are going to be poured out upon the wicked, God is going to bring forth a bride, and we know also he's allowing a harlot church to arise. But how many believe he's going to destroy her too? Can you say amen? Now, in one, he was taken to a high mountain and he saw the bride. In this scripture, if you read on down the context in verse 3, look at verse 3. He was taken into the wilderness. How many has ever been taken there, left? Why does God take me to the wilderness? Well, for many reasons. But here he took John there to show him this harlot or this whore. And what did he see? He saw this woman sitting upon this scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads, 10 horns. So he saw the harlot church, didn't he? Who can hear that tonight? Now, notice in verse 1, where's the whore sitting? Many waters. Look in verse 15. It tells us what it is. Look in verse 15. He said, the waters you saw there, John, where the whore sitting are people, multitude, nations, and tongues. But look over in chapter 19. Here's a positive. Look at 19. Somebody's sitting on the waters, controlling the people, dominating the people, a harlot church. But in chapter 19 of Revelation, hallelujah, look in verse 6. Here's the people rejoicing because Babylon falls. How many know the economic system's going to fall? The religious system's going to fall? And the money system's going to fall in God's time. And if you read Revelation 14, which I won't just right now, but you'll see when the 144,000 raised up, Babylon is fallen. And I'm going to show you something else with that in just a minute. Now look here at Revelation 19:6. I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude and as the voice of many waters. But these are not in the whore. They're not in the harlot. They're God's people. Hallelujah. And they had been shouting in verse 2, because the whore had been judged that corrupted the earth. Can you say amen? Now, look in Isaiah 27. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 27. I believe it's 27 I want. Yeah. In verse 17, it said, like as a woman with child that draw near the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pain, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. I mean, oh, God didn't want us to bring forth hot air. Our false man child, come on, or Ishmael. He said, notice, we have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Now hold your place. Turn back to Revelation 16. I'm getting a Bible drill tonight, Jack.
Yeah.
Revelation 16. Thank you, Jesus. 16:19. Revelation 16:19. And it said, the great city. What is the great city called in Revelation? Babylon. Did you hear what I'm saying? The great city is called, but you check it out. Don't take a word I say. You check it out. The great city was divided into how many parts? Three parts. And the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Now, what I read that for? To let you know tonight that the world has not yet totally fallen. But when the sons of God come forth in power, I want to tell you, the world's going to crumble and fall.
Hallelujah.
Babylon's going to fall. That has not totally happened yet, but it shall happen when God's overcomers come on the scene in fullness and power, and we'll see the ministry of Jesus again on the earth as we did when the Lord walked here. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
And it will be worldwide to a remnant people. Now notice something else it says here, back in Isaiah 26:18, that we brought forth only wind. The world has not fallen, and he said, the prophet said, there was not any deliverance in the earth. Well, how many believe God's going to change that?
Amen.
I want to show you two scriptures. Obadiah 17. Obadiah 17. Thank you, Jesus. Obadiah, verse 17. There's a lot in this little chapter here. Oh, there's so much. And it says in verse 17, but upon Mount Zion. That's Revelation 14. Upon Mount Zion, there was a people called 144,000 standing with the Lamb of God. Are you hearing me? But upon Mount Zion shall be, number one, what is it? Deliverance.
Hallelujah.
Which means there had been for, that someone has brought forth, not wind, but a deliverer.
Yeah.
Amen. And we see here, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Verse 21. And saviors, the word saviors means deliverers, shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. So when God brings forth a man-child, the world will fall to pieces, and we'll see it if we're living. And there shall be deliverance in the earth. Now turn to Romans 8:21. Oh, hallelujah. How many know there's three groanings right here in chapter 8? At least three that I know of. Look in chapter 8, verse 21. But the creature or creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. When's creation going to be changed? When God raises up His overcomers, His sons. Amen? Or mature ones, however you want to say it. And we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Hallelujah. But notice back in verse 21, it said here that creation shall be delivered. There's going to be deliverance in the earth. And verse 22 says that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, what? What do? Groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of our body. And then down in verse 26, he talks about the groaning of the Holy Spirit, making intercession through us. Groaning of creation, you and I groaning, of course the Spirit groaning through us. Hallelujah. And how many know we're making intercession not only for ourselves, but for other saints and for all men, the Scripture says. Can you hear that? Now go to John 16. John chapter 16. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. John chapter 16. And look in verse 21. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she's delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Now look at the word child in verse 21 and the word man. Man-child, if you put them together. Huh? Now go back to Revelation 12, where we were. Revelation 12, 5. Hallelujah. When I was a little boy, I'd take this Bible and read a lot in Revelation and didn't understand a word of it. But as a child, God was, I guess, preparing my heart to study this book. How many know we need all the book? But thank God for the last book. Amen? A lot of people are afraid of it. Devil don't want you to read it. Chapter 12, verse 5. She brought forth, come on, a man-child who was to rule, shepherd all nations. You ever heard people say, well, we're going to die or go to heaven and spend eternity in heaven? Well, I mean, no, I believe we'll see heaven. I believe, like Glenn said, books for the whole universe. But you notice right here, it says that when she brings forth a man-child, he's going to shepherd or rule all nations. Where's the nations? In heaven or down here? All right, look, hold your place. Look back in 5:10 of Revelation. 5:10 of Revelation. Praise the Lord. Revelation 5:10. And it says, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on what? The earth. How many want to reign on this earth? Under Christ or with Christ. Hallelujah. Back in chapter 12. But notice, she brings forth a man-child that's to rule or shepherd all nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up unto God and to His throne. How many know that's Revelation chapter 3? But on the way to the throne, how many know you got to stop over and eat at the table?
Hallelujah.
Behold, I stand at the door. Come on, then. If any man open up, I'll come in and sup with him. That means supper. And he with me. So on the way to the throne, you better eat. Isn't that right? How many know Benjamin was a hearty eater? He had five more portions than his other brothers. Come on, the overcomer. He eats of the hidden manna. He's partaking, come on, of that tree of life. Isn't that right?
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.